over the over a recorded line, but that's,
you will sound awesome because your sense of humor will come through totally in your voice. And so, if you're joining us on the rebroadcast of this, we are Kirk Johnson and myself have just been introduced, so we haven't talked to each other. We don't know anything about each other. We also have Scott Allred on and Ginger Ann as well. And so we're going to just have a fun session. If you do have any questions on anything that is talked about, connect with the individual who invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. If you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. What we're doing today, Kirk, is the what's called the 30-minute strategy session. And so others have found this to be, I don't know, just like we'd said in kind of prior to starting, was it's, I don't know, it's fun and exciting. It's I mean, some have said life transforming, believe it or not.
All right.
And so I hope you've got your seatbelt on and plug in. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you could, Kirk.
Well, I'm a financial advisor with Edward Jones.
Okay.
I'm based in South Ogden, Utah.
Okay.
I have a beautiful wife and four children.
Nice.
How
old are your children?
They are 8, 6, 4, and 9 months old.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I've got a girl who's the oldest and three boys, and we enjoy the outdoors. Just
okay.
Got back from a trip down to Moab, did some mountain biking and hiking, and I guess from a professional standpoint, I have a focus on strategic planning for individuals and small businesses. I really enjoy helping people plan their retirement and using diverse financial products to help them achieve their long-term financial goals.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been in financial services for about 12 years, but
okay.
Recently opened my own Edward Jones office about a year and a half ago. And
okay.
I took the leap to...
Nice. Congratulations.
...self-employed, so...
Yeah, that's exciting, especially with four kids.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I've got more... gray hairs and less of them, less hairs than I had a year and a half ago. But I've really enjoyed it, and it's been extremely rewarding to be in a position that I can have a positive impact on the rest of people's lives. We can
absolutely. My wife and I, we've been married for 30 years, and we have 7 children. Our youngest is 13, and our oldest is 26, and we've been blessed with 2 grandchildren. So we have 3 boys and 4 girls. And when we had 3 of the kids is when I started Synergy Solutions. And so
okay. So
prior
what you're saying is I need to have 3 more before I'm...
Yeah, exactly.
I'm done. Okay.
It was fun and exciting, and then 4 of them turned into teenagers like very quickly, and it's like, whoa, what were we thinking? That is not easy.
Yeah.
We have been blessed greatly. Kirk, what would you say the biggest challenge that you're facing right now in your business would be?
Well, I feel like I'm very effective when I'm in front of people and actually presenting solutions and discovering what their needs are, but I'm not great on the administrative side of my business, and so my biggest challenge is just blocking my time, you know, scheduling my time for those things that are most effective, and honoring my schedule. So, you know, it all boils down to time management, but to be a little more specific, I need to be better at honoring the schedule that I set and focusing on those key activities that bring consistent success rather than rather than streaky success.
Yeah. We call that the roller coaster principle. And so, you know, I went into 100% straight commission right out of college. My wife and I had been married for 2.5 years. We were married young when she was 19. I was 20. Went through college together, both graduated, and then started having a family. And I went into 100% straight commission position. And it was interesting, struggled, but then, you know, put some systems and tools in place and saw some amazing success. And then, you know, it was interesting when I was promoted into then a regional manager, then marketing manager, then VP of sales, and I saw that roller coaster up and down. And I'm like, this is killing us as a company. I mean, it's bad enough when one person does it, but when you have a whole sales force. And the president, you know, and the others say, well, Mark, you know, you're too young, but that's just how this industry is. And I'm like, I don't think so. I mean, there's got to be a way. It was in the mortgage industry. And so I went ahead and, you know, just started doing some studying and introspection and observation, and I found that there's actually two roller coasters. And so there's one that's an effort, and then there's one that's result. And the results are obvious, but the effort's often not measured. And so the effort's high, and we're doing the right things and everything, and then all of a sudden, you know, results are low. But if we do the right actions over the right period of time, you know, in the right way with the right people, our results go up. But then when our results go up, often our efforts go down. So you have these two roller coasters, and the only thing that breaks that is the law of consistency. Mm-hmm. And with entrepreneurs, that's a hard thing because they've got essentially five things. They've got five major things. They have area one, marketing. How do you generate more leads, better leads? Area two, pre-sales. What do you do once a lead comes in? Area three, the sale, the yes or the no. Area four, servicing. You know, how do you turn servicing into a profit center? And area five is client and relationship for life. And so, you know, you're out there marketing and doing pre-sales and sales, but then you get sales, and then you have servicing, and then you got to come in and do all the servicing, and then your marketing's not getting done. And so systems, you know, I have found to be absolute lifesavers on that and being able to go through that. Any other challenges that you're facing, Kirk?
I would like to work less.
Cool.
I guess a challenge is keeping my kids, keeping a relationship with my kids and wife in spite of the need to pay attention to my business. So
sure.
That's
sure.
A challenge.
Yeah. How many hours are you working a week, would you say?
I would say I'm working 65 to 70 hours a week right now.
Oh, yep, that's a lot. That is a lot. How many would you ideally like to be working?
I think we would all be happy if I was working 50 hours a week.
Okay.
At least, you know, I recognize that as I'm building my business, it's going to require more time, and so ultimately, I'd like to, you know, work 35 hours a week.
Sure.
But I think that's probably a 5-year plan. But I would like, you know, I think it's feasible if I can be more efficient.
Right.
Able to work 50 hours a week tomorrow or, you know, next
right.
week if I can figure out the right systems to
right.
To make myself more effective when I'm here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to put down 35.
Okay.
Yeah, your wife and kids will love me.
Yeah.
All right. And if you had 10 leads... Kirk, how many of those would convert? The average in most industries, about 1 out of 10. What do you think yours would be?
I guess it depends on how you define a lead.
It'd be a name and a phone number of someone who expressed interest in your services?
I would say, you know, I would say that ratio is pretty similar. I would like to think that I'm more effective than that I have a better close ratio, but I think when I, you know, if I'm dealing with strictly a lead, you know, not someone, not a referral or a warm contact,
right.
Obviously my conversion rate is much higher with those, but I guess if I'm, you know, if I'm calling off a list or something like that, which I haven't done, but if I were to do that, I'm guessing that's...
Gotcha.
I'm no sharper or more charismatic than the next guy. So we'll see. We'll say 1 in 10 makes sense.
Okay. And if somebody could help you in any area of your business or life, what would you love help on?
I would love to have some help generating more referrals, more consistent referrals. I have a pretty good customer base, number wise. You know, I have lots of customers, but I need to make them raving fans so they'll
gotcha.
Refer me.
Anything else you'd love help on?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
So. Okay. Which of these four shapes would you tend to like the most, Kirk? Cube, a pyramid, a wavy line, or a ball? Which would you tend to like the most, a cube, a pyramid, a wavy line, or a ball?
I think I answer these questions differently every time.
It's okay. Totally okay. Whatever, wherever you're at right now, you can answer it right now the way, whatever way you want to.
Okay. I think typically the pyramid.
Okay.
Like the pyramid shape.
And then after that, the cube, wavy line, or ball?
I would say after that, the cube.
Okay, cool. And then after that, the wavy line or the ball?
The ball, and then the wavy
nice.
Line. Yeah.
Cool. And which of these four things would cause you the most frustration in any area of your life, personally or professionally? Again, which would cause you most frustration? Not being done properly in order, out of control, boring or not fun, or conflict? Again, which would cause you most frustration? Out of order, out of control, boring or not fun, or conflict?
I guess probably, man, these are hard for me. out of order.
Okay, good. All right. And then out of control, boring or not fun, or conflict?
I would say conflict.
Okay, good. And then after that, out of control or boring or not fun?
Out of control, and then,
okay.
Then the final one.
Nice. So would you say maybe one of your greatest strengths, Kirk, would be you like to dot the I's, cross the T's, make sure things are done properly in order?
Man. Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like everything to be in order, yes.
Okay.
Can I hold, put you on hold for just
a minute? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that screen up, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I was thinking, oh, he's probably watching. I need to do that. This one we're just doing an audio. We're not doing a full video on it, just audio. So.
Sorry about that. I had,
no worries.
Had my assistant pounding on the door too.
Yeah, no worries.
Had a little fire to put out. So.
No worries. Well, you did it quickly. You did it quickly. another strength you might have is your, flexibility.
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty flexible.
And a weakness you might have is your flexibility.
I guess.
Our greatest strength, Kirk, is our greatest weakness, and our greatest weakness is really our greatest strength misapplied. Is taking a strength and carrying it, a little too far.
Yeah.
You test out is it's an intriguing personality. It's fairly complex. It's on the GEO test, personality test, you test out as a driver, analytical. So in that test, one of your greatest strengths would be your drive, your assertiveness, you make things happen. One of your weaknesses would be your drive, your assertiveness, you make things happen. One of your greatest strengths would be dot the I's, cross the T's, make sure things are done properly. When we combine those together, that type of personality will like to do things fast and perfect in that order. Because they have the energy, they actually can do that often, but often people around them are not able to do it, which creates frustration for any employees or a spouse or children at times. In the other test, you test out a little different. You test out as the analytical primary, and so, dot the I's, cross the T's. Secondary is the amiable, which is very different from your GEO test. And so in the amiable, what it would show is that one of your greatest strengths is your concern, compassion for people. One of your weaknesses would be your concern, compassion for people. When we mix it together, you test out as kind of a chameleon personality. So strengths is flexibility, weakness is flexibility. And so This type of personality, and Kirk, I don't know you, but this type of personality would tend to have a fair amount of inner conflict because they want to do a fair amount of things, do them fast, do them perfect, and make everybody happy in the same time. And that's going to, you know, just be really, really hard to do. So I don't know how accurate that is, Kirk, but that's what it shows us.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I think when I've gone through this with Scott, I think I might have tested slightly differently at that time, but
okay.
But I wasn't surprised by that because, you know, all my life I've been in sales and lots of different programs that have done personality tests, and it seems like I'm never consistent with who I am.
Here's a new thought for you. You are actually consistent. You're consistently inconsistent in the test. That's consistent.
Okay.
That's why I say that it really doesn't matter if people shift around. Even in the shifting around, they're typically going to shift around both. And so even if they shifted around, it's still going to go ahead and reveal the flexibility. So most of the time, you're going to have individuals that have flexibility, multiple energy bases. They will go ahead and modify it, but they'll modify actually both sides. So in the end, it's still going to be, you know, very, very, you know, consistent in showing that flexibility. 1 to 10, Kirk, how would you say, how coachable would you say you are? 10 being the most.
I would say I am a 10 when it comes to my desire to be coached. I have very little ego wrapped up in what I do. I know that I can be better at a lot of things, but I think where I suffer is in execution. You know,
sure.
Things sound like a great idea, and I'm excited to implement them, and then I get caught up in survival and getting the job done at hand, and I'm not great at implementation.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides. That's the downside of the flexibility, is because with individuals with multiple energy bases, they do have struggles with implementation. When they're hot, they're really hot, and when they're not, they're really not. The reason they're hot when they're hot is they're analyzing when they should, executing when they should, focus on the task when they should, and people when they should. People stand back and say, whoa, that's amazing. You know, how do you do everything? But when they get cold, off just a little tiny bit, what happens is that flexibility turns into a negative to them, because they're analyzing when they should execute, they're executing when they should analyze, they're focused on the task when they should the people, and people when they should the task. And so it's off a little bit, but it can create a very difficult time to go ahead and do implementation. So it's not unusual that this type of personality would have some pretty significant challenges with implementation, with following through, with good, strong coaching. Because of the complexity of it, there's probably only, I don't know, maybe about 12% of the professional coaches in the world that could actually coach this type of personality, because it is unique. And so somebody really has to understand personalities at a very deep level to be able to coach this complex, because it can shift very quickly on you in the coaching side, which is not bad. It's just it's very powerful. But it needs to be understood. If you could change one thing about yourself, Kirk, what would you change?
I guess I wish I was a little more focused.
Okay.
You know, I wish I could hold my focus a bit longer.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah,
and one at,
I like my
and friend. How would you rate your listening skills?
My listening skills?
Yes.
I would say they're very good.
Okay. 1 to 10?
An 8.
Cool. And your sales skills?
I would say I don't have a silver tongue. I would say I'm a 6.
Okay. And your sense of urgency just overall?
Probably a 6.
Okay, cool. And when you are urgent, what causes you to have a high sense of urgency?
I would say, having a deadline, you know, something that I guess I would say I don't like being in a position where I'm where it's obvious that I'm unprepared or that you know, so I guess the social pressure is helpful for me to get things done. You know, I tend to procrastinate public preparing speeches and things like that until the last minute, but I do eventually do those things because I don't
sure.
want to be embarrassed in front of
sure.
a friend or a client. So.
1 to 10, how much of a procrastinator would you say you are, 10 being the most?
Oh, probably an 8.
Okay. And when you do procrastinate, why do you procrastinate?
I think I've read some books and done a lot of self-analyzation on my procrastination. I would say that that I often find myself doing tasks that are important, but smaller or of less importance than the big tasks that I'm less comfortable with.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I guess avoidance of discomfort or
gotcha. Sure. And if you were being coached, and your coach thought you were procrastinating, how'd you like them to respond?
I like direct.
Okay.
Getting chewed out. I mean, I prefer not to have it sugar-coated if I'm...
Okay.
You know, I feel like I take criticism well.
Okay.
And I'd rather have someone say, look, you're just being lazy or you're just not doing this you should. And
nice. All right. Awesome. And if they did that, would it work?
Yeah, I think it usually does. I mean, I don't want to be micromanaged.
Sure.
That's why I'm self-employed, but
right.
But if I'm paying someone to micromanage me,
right.
then they need to feel they need to be comfortable being bold enough to put me in my place.
So. Awesome. And Kirk, if somebody said the following to you, how would you respond? So if somebody said to you, Kirk, I think you're coachable at maybe a 3, your listening skills are maybe a 2.5, your sales skills a 1, sense of urgency a 1.5, and you're a 10 on procrastination. If somebody said that to you, Kirk, how would you respond?
I would say you're probably a better judge of it than I am, so so you're probably right. You know, I guess. I don't take offense to things, and so if that's someone's outside observation, it would give me pause. Obviously, I'd want to say, wow, okay, what do I need to do to
sure
that? So.
Sure. Kirk, is there any other questions that we should have asked that we didn't ask, or any additional information we should know that we don't know?
No, it's been pretty revealing and and helpful.
Good. Have you ever had one-on-one coaching before?
I have.
Okay. Was it positive or negative?
It was a positive experience when I was engaged, and when I felt like there was I think I kind of got too busy I just let it become less of a priority, and when that happened, it became very ineffective because I just stopped following through, which
right. How long were you in it?
I think about 6 months or so.
Okay. Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, you know, that a large part of that is the coach. And so with your personality, they would need to be very aware of that.
Yeah.
And so if somebody's really aware of that, they're going to make sure that probably every 3 months there's something significant, there's something that kind of shakes it up, there's something that kind of moves things along, because otherwise you will get bored. You know,
yeah.
You know, you'll wander and you'll do other things, and so that's important. If you were in coaching now, what would be the three things that you would want to accomplish over the next 90 days, Kirk?
If I were in it now, I would say I would want to really drill down on my effectiveness as far as managing my schedule. I would probably want some assistance or, you know, coaching on how to best take advantage of my staff.
How many staff do you have?
Just one. I have
an
office administrator that covers my administrative work. And I guess I still, in my industry, I don't feel like you ever know everything that you need to know. So I would like to be implement and find some way to regularly build my knowledge base so I'm a better advisor.
Gotcha. And if what would be your wow, you know, revenue sales goal? What would be something over the next 12 months that just absolutely totally rock your life, totally excite you?
Like as far as a number or a figure?
Yeah, like a sales, like a number, a revenue number, a dollar number. On what would be something for your firm that would be just totally exciting for you over the next 12 months?
Over the next 12 months, it would be, probably, let me do the math real quick. Probably about $250,000 gross revenue.
Nice. And what would be your minimum revenue goal?
Minimum probably needs to be 160.
Okay, cool. Has anyone ever told you that it's actually can be easier to get to 250 than 160?
No, I probably wouldn't believe them if they did. But.
Are you familiar with the next dimension principle?
No.
The next dimension principle, like if I were to, you know, say to somebody, what's a higher number, a 2 or a 9? Most people would say, well, of course, a 9, because we think in one dimension. But if there's 10 levels of proficiency in a dimension, once you hit a 10, it's not perfection. You just move to another dimension. So a 2 in the next dimension is actually higher than a 9 in the previous dimension.
Okay.
And so you test out as being very coachable. A lot of people think they're 8, 9s, or 10, but they're really 2s or 3s.
Yeah.
And so you test out as being very coachable. And so if somebody said that you were a 2 or 3, that's not necessarily less than a 10. It's just in another dimension.
Okay.
In revenue, your dimensions in business are 50,000 and then 100 and then 250 and then 500 and then 1 million and then 2.5, 5, 10, 25. So it's roughly doubling of your revenue,
mm-hmm.
and that's a new dimension.
Okay.
And so at 100,000, what you're doing is there's an engine. It's called a BOSS, Business Operating System. I don't know if you're familiar with that terminology.
Only from Scott. Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, there's three different aspects, the DNA of people, the DNA of business, and the DNA of life. And so when you look at your engine, it's built subconsciously to get to one of those dimensions, 50
or 100 or 250. And so that's why you see people leveled off at those numbers. So somebody could get to 100, you know, maybe very quickly, but then they stay there. It's like, why would they stay there when they have a lot more clients and everything else? And so getting to 160 might be harder than 250, because what you're doing is taking an engine to 100 on a subconscious basis and trying to get it to do more.
I see.
And you might be able to do it, but it'd be actually easier to get to 250 because, for a number of reasons. One is, you go, yeah, I know my I know there's no way I'm going to have to do something radically different. If we do something, just little differences, we might increase our income by 10 or 20 or 30,000 a year. But to jump to 250, it's radical. And radical is actually a lot easier than small integral, you know, small changes often, because one is it excites you more. And so, you know, 250 is just a lot more exciting,
yep.
You know. And two is it helps, like at 250, you're like, I'm willing to take more risk. I know I have to put these systems. It's not like, well, I really should put these systems in. It's like, no, there is no way in the world I'm going to ever get to that number if I don't do it. So it puts more positive pressure and stress. And by putting more positive pressure and positive stress, it'll actually increase the statistical probabilities to get to 250.
Gotcha.
Interesting, sense. Huh?
Yeah, I see where you're going.
Do you have any questions for me?
No. I think I look forward to listening to this call again.
Cool. You'll like it. You'll like it. There's actually a three-step process for determining, you know, how to help to get you to 250. And so step one is to do an examination. So no doctor is ever going to go ahead and, you know, give you a prescription without an examination. So if somebody ever says they can help you get to 250 without doing a very thorough examination, they're selling you something. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not really, you know, they don't know if they can or can't. Step two is potential solutions, and then step three is implementation. So the three steps are examination, solution, implementation. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Now, in the examination, Kirk, it can be a short, simple series of questions like we've done just now, or it can be a much more comprehensive, thorough assessment. It's really, you know, up to the individual. In solutions, typically people like three types of solutions, kind of a basic, an intermediate, and an advanced. The basic is for individuals that, like, they know they need to change something, but they're not sure what they need to change, or they tend to be more analytical and they want to understand everything before they do anything, which is fine, or it might be financial, or it could be that there's not a high sense of urgency. And so a basic's a great place to get started. It's easier to change the direction of a moving car than one that's standing still. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The intermediate tends to be more for somebody that's very intuitive. And so they intuitively know they need something, and they intuitively find it, and then they intuitively just jump in. It's just a boom. They tend to be more of the pyramid and the wavy line. So the pyramid you scored as number one this time, and wavy line number four. So you're kind of, you know, so if I were to recommend a basic solution or intermediate solution, I wouldn't know what to recommend to you.
Yeah.
So a part of you would be, let's jump in, let's dive in, and then another part, well, let's think about this, let's wait. And so it would create confusion on a if nothing else, on a subconscious level, if I'm really listening to you.
Yeah.
And so for years, for decades, it created, you know, I'm like, I don't know what to do, because I thought the confusion was me. But it's actually not with you. So if you're in the same situation with your clients where you're like, well, you know, because you probably do the same thing. You could do a basic, intermediate, or advanced. And so which should you do? If you're confused, it's because you're sensing their personality. And their personality is probably more complex. It's not as defined. They have both energy bases. And so you're just very sensitive. And one part of them wants to, you know, really dive in and jump in quick and do a lot. And another part of them says, yeah, no, I really want to think about it. And so you're sensing their energy base. Does that make sense? So what you do on that, just coaching-wise, what you do on that is you just go ahead and tell them. You just say, hey, I'm sensing I could go either this way or this way. I'm not sure which one should go. And then you just ask them, which would you recommend? Because you're confused, they'll actually connect with you and relate with you because they're confused too.
Okay.
And they'll be like, wow, you know, Kirk really understands me. He's confused. And so you actually, so if you don't, if you're not confused when they're confused and you try to go with a lower solution, it's like they don't kind of like that because they want the higher solution. But if you go with a higher solution, they're not trusting of you because they're saying he's just trying to sell me something. So if you're not confused, you lose trust with them.
Yeah.
And so it's just really cool. Because, you know, really great salespeople understand that intuitively. But people like me who are not so great salespeople, it's like, I'm not silver tongue either. And so I don't know. And so understanding it intellectually, then I can, I get what I'm supposed to do. Because I really do want to give them the best solution. And then on implementation, some people like to implement things very quickly. You know, other people like to take a much longer period of time, you know, which is fine. So the three-step, the three-step process is examination, solution, and implementation. So what we've just done is we've just gone through kind of what's called a level one and level two examination.
Okay.
And there's a level three and a level four examination. It's called a business X-ray. And what that does is that actually looks at three dimensions in your business, nine major areas, seven systems, looks at over 40 areas of your business and life. It looks at what you're doing right, little tweaks you could do to improve. It looks at the four phases that every business must go through to really get your business to go ahead and run without you. And normally that takes somewhere to between 15 and 20 years if a business person can do it, which they often are not able to do. And the X-ray shows you actually how to do that in 3 to 5 years. And so often after the 30-minute strategy session, people are like, wow, man, you knew my personality. This was really awesome. And so often individuals will go ahead and do the business X-ray. The business X-ray, which includes the full interview, the full assessment, as well as the interview and the assessment, and then a one-on-one review, and then any questions that you have at any time. And it's $285 to do the full business X-ray. And whether you do any coaching or not, there's a guy about three, four years ago, and we did it. And at the end, he had like three businesses. And at the end, he's like, man, I am so ticked. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? He said, well, I'm just frustrated, Mark. He's like, you know, a year ago, I wish I'd have known you guys. I paid a consulting company $40,000 to come in and analyze my business. And I learned more in your $285 X-ray than I did in the $40,000 of consulting. So it really is a very powerful tool. That's something, you know, you might want to consider. Kirk, any other questions that you have for me or anything else? I might be able to give you some input on your business.
No, not right now. I mean, I would love to pick your brain for another hour, but I have another appointment that I
absolutely
get ready
absolutely.
For.
What we'll do is we'll get you out some information on the you said time blocking. There's a white paper that I wrote a number of years back, about 4 years ago, I guess it was, and it's The Secret About Time. And so, four and a half years ago, I don't know, it was like revealed to me, and I have so much extra time now. I have an extra 20 hours of free time every week.
That's great.
So I don't even know what to do with the time. And what I find is I find that I'm more judicious now with time than I was before because I know how precious that free time is and how cool it is, and I don't ever want to lose that. And so wrote a white paper about it, and then Life Masteries Institute, nonprofit organization, had a number of their members, a lot of people in their network, and said, this is so great, could you put some videos together? And so I actually put 10 videos together. So we'll send you out a link for those. We'll send you out a link for the business X-ray as well. Scott, do you have any thoughts, questions, insights for Kirk?
No, I was just kind of going over, Kirk, how you answered your first questions, and you're pretty consistent. I understand you know, the personalities, the GO and the Payne's test, you know, you're just kind of flipped around a little bit. But I understand, because I think you and I talked about that you were a chameleon. So you're strong in all areas. And I just thank you for taking the time to talk
with
us.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, and
if there is a link that you could send me to listen to it as well, I think that would be helpful.
Absolutely, and it's really neat from a profitable partnership perspective, being part of Mastermind Seminars with Scott and then the Legacy Partners. There's a whole network of business professionals in all different industries, and there's so many partnerships that are going on. And the first step is the 30-minute, you know, interview strategy session, where people, you know, if there's 10 individuals out there, you don't have to go through this 10 times. You go through it once. It's recorded. It can be shared with people. And then if they find a connection, you know, from what you said, then they can connect with you. And so more and more people that are going through the 30-minute strategy session are saying, yeah, absolutely, record it and share it with other people. And so, Scott and I'll think about that. And if there's, you know, individuals that we think might want to partner up with you, we'll go ahead and make the introduction and give them the recording as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Kirk, have a great day.
You too. Thanks,
Scott. Okay. All right. We'll see
you. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you're listening again to the rebroadcast, if you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.